Moncrief on News Talk.
Joanna Fortune is here once again to answer all your parenting queries. Afternoon, Joanna.
Afternoon, Sean.
I have a 17-year-old son who's just about to head into sixth year. During transition year, he became friendly with a girl from his year. And over the summer of this year, they became boyfriend and girlfriend. I had the sex talk with him long ago. I know he is having sex and quite a lot of it because I have found used condoms in various bins in the house. I've tried to approach this as practically as I can instead of ignoring it and running away from the problem. My concern is that he is very young to be having this much sex, and I worry about the emotional impact it will have on both of them, especially during this crucial exam year. I also think, and know from personal experience, there's a lot of emotional side effects to having sex at the start. When I was a kid, we never spoke about sex around the house, and it was a bit of a taboo subject. I don't want the same for my son. I want him to toe the line between speaking with him about the stress that this year will bring, inform him about having too much sex, but not scare him off. This is all a bit of a minefield. What should I do?
I mean, I think you're making it into a bit of a minefield as well, because there's, I think, three times in this relatively short letter, too much sex, this much sex comes up. And I don't know that I'm quite understanding what too much sex means. Mm. Because there just isn't a quantifiable right amount of sex. And I don't mean that in a flippant way. It's just I'm not quite sure what that means. I just think, Sean, as well, at this age, 17-year-olds, especially in a first sexual relationship, they can quite literally think they've discovered sex. No one else knew it existed before them.
Yes, of course.
You know?
Yes.
And they've made this amazing discovery. It's exciting, it's thrilling, and they have a very high sex drive at 17 years old.
Absolutely.
You know, so when we say too much sex, that's a very vague subjective term. And I'm coming back to other words that jump out at me in this letter. You know, you don't want to run away from the problem. So I'm kind of inferring here that the too much sex is that you might be having, and it's okay if you are, you might be having a problem with the idea that your son
is having sex.
Now, he is not trying to keep this a secret from you because he is leaving used condoms in various bins. I mean, that's also, I was like, various bins, various locations. Mm. You know, he's being actually, he's showing he's really okay with you knowing about this.
Yeah.
And sometimes I wonder when our teenagers.
Boys, do they really think that far
maybe
ahead? At least he's using condoms.
Well, which is great. But I'm also thinking, you know, that it gives you a very much an in for a discussion with him. Now, this letter doesn't make any reference to if there's any other children at home, but if in anyone else's case, you know, this is something you would have to address. Like a lot of people listening might say, oh, he's 17, he's using condoms, it's fine. But actually, you know, you want him to be respectful that it's not his house. He's living with you there. And he is, you know, making it very clear to everyone, Yep, having sex in this room and that room and the next room and the other room, and I want you all to know about it. Like, it sounds to me like he's just delighted with himself. But there's another thing here where you're saying you had the sex talk. First of all, it's not the sex talk singular. It's not a one-off talk. And you had it a long time ago. It's time to have it again and to grow it up in line with where he's at. You know, I think for me, Sean, reading this, the conversation is probably not about sex and how much of it he's having, but actually about boundaries. And you're going to be talking to him about, this is private, it's your private life, I want to be able to talk about healthy sex with you. But, you know, I'm going to ask you to be respectful of boundaries. Here's where I want you to dispose of used condoms.
Yes.
Not in every bin in the house, but here. Yeah. And actually being very open and explicit. So you're saying to him, we're going to talk about it really openly. I'm not embarrassed. You're not embarrassing me about this. We'll have it. And I also think that growing up your conversation about sex would allow you to say, now that you are having sex, the last time we had a conversation about it, it was quite abstract. Mm. I was talking to you in a way that was nearly teaching you and explaining concepts. But now you're experiencing sex. The conversation is going to happen again, but it's going to be different. So you're going to include consent, respect, how healthy relationships have high levels of reciprocity, being respectful of your partner, you know, taking care of each other, being attentive to each other, and that healthy relationships are more than just physical. So what other ways do you and your girlfriend enjoy spending time together that isn't sex, and really emphasizing that with him so that he has a more rounded, healthy view of what a relationship is, not just what sex is.
Yeah.
And I think that's the conversation that I would be steering this parent towards.
Yeah, indeed. Right, next question. And before I read it out, actually, We've got many, and these things always tend to be kind of cyclical at particular times of the year. We've got many other questions that were very similar to this one. So we're going to read out this one and you may well recognise something in it. My five-year-old started primary school this week. She's attending a different school to where she went to play school. Because of this, all of the friends that she has made are now in a different school. Since the first day or over a week ago, she keeps coming home telling me that she's no friends. For the first couple of days, she didn't seem too bothered by it, but now she's getting a little bit sad. Oh, God. It's strange. She loves the school experience, and there's no issue with getting her into school each morning. If I didn't know the friend thing was happening, I'd have said she was settling in great. I know she's only five, but are there any tips you could give me on what to say to her when she says she doesn't have friends? And secondly, any tips on what I could tell a five-year-old on how to make friends? I know it's one week in, but when your child says something like that to you, it's very hard, and my instinct to fix the problem has kicked in. Please help.
Oh, I totally understand the instinct, but I'm going to ask you to sit in your hands and do not jump in to fix it. I mean, just because something is, you know, look, she's five, it's one week in, just because we could say that doesn't mean it's not really difficult and problematic in the now moment. There is a couple of things. You know, she's attending a different school. She doesn't know anyone yet. That's a lot. There's a whole lot going on when you start school for little ones from their perspective. When she was coming home and she didn't seem bothered and saying, no, I don't really have friends. I'm trying to imagine the conversation. Did you say, who were you playing with? Who's your friends? And she's like, I don't have one. What was your reaction? Was your reaction something like, oh, and now a couple of days later, she's like, oh, I'm sad about this no friends thing. Where, you know, or is it something that's actually bothering her? I'm asking that, Sean, because she's still very happy going into school.
Yes.
Now,
a
lot of junior infant stage kids are probably still on the short day, you know, easing them into school. So I think that's only one 15-minute break in the yard. Mm. So they haven't had the full two breaks to play and have fun and get to know each other outside of the classroom, where they're sitting at a table with little pals and the teacher's doing a lot of kind of guiding them in play and getting to know each other activities. So I don't want this parent to hear this as minimizing, but it quite literally is too soon to make a call on her not having friends. So what I want you to do, instead of you thinking about how do I teach her how to make friends, is hold in mind that the way children's friendships kind of work before primary school age, you know, when they're at that preschool stage, you know, Sean, if you're a child and I'm a child, we're friends. Like, that is as complicated as it gets.
Yeah.
But even in this transition into 5 years old and in school, really, I'm going to pick up and drop friends quite casually through junior infants, because I'm working out who's like me, who's not, who do I feel good with, who challenges me in a way I don't like versus I do like. And so they can have a best friend 1 week that they can't even remember the name of 2 weeks later.
And
it sounds pathological, but it's really, really healthy and normal. Mm. And it's always why I'm saying, stay out of it, stay out of it, don't get involved, because it will happen. So give it time. I would say when she comes home, don't ask, did you make a friend? You know, have you got a friend? Who did you play with? Don't ask those type of questions. Instead, wonder. You'll get more information with a wondering than a question anyway. But I wonder what made you laugh today. Mm. And then let her tell a little story about what was funny. Say smile or laugh, something. Surely we hope something made her laugh or smile every day. And then you could add on, you know, who else was there when that happened? Oh, my goodness, you and Sean have so much in common. You both like the same things. And move on. You're just planting little seeds of, oh, you and so laugh at the same things. Mm. Little things that help her see that she has things in common with other kids. But generally speaking, leave it alone, because when she says happy going in, very happy, you know, there's no protest, and she's coming home saying, no, I have no friends, I'm just curious, is it a way of her saying, I'm overwhelmed by all the newness? It's a lot for me and it's hard right now. And I really want sympathy, and I want you to see how hard it is for me. It could be all of that. If this now was to linger for anyone listening, going through this, and there's lots of you, if it was to linger beyond the end of September and your child still seems quite isolated in school and has no one really to play with at yard time, absolutely reach out and talk to the teacher. A lot of the teachers at schools for that young age will be doing early parent-teacher meetings anyway, just to touch base and see how they're getting on. But if you're still worried in a few weeks, I would reach out and say to the teacher, look, this is what I'm hearing at home. could you get whoever's on yard duty just to keep an eye that she's not alone? And don't be surprised if they say, we don't know what you're talking about. She's playing with 3-4 kids every day since she's been here.
Yeah, that's it. my youngest, when she was starting, I can remember bringing her into school and other kids would be going, hey, and knowing her name. And I'd be going, what's her name? And she'd say, I don't know.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know who that is. Yeah. Oh, no, I played with her yesterday, but I don't know her name. Yeah, we didn't get that intimate, you know. Right. Can you ask Joanna if sensory issues can get worse in a child with age? We have an 11-year-old son who's always been a bit sensitive when it comes to noise and the feel of certain objects. For example, the texture of a windbreaker always drives him mad. So we have to look for an alternative for when he goes out with his friends. To me, these issues were never big, but I feel in the last 2 years, they've gotten worse. Last week, we were in Dublin doing back to school shopping. And when the tram came down the street and started ringing its chime, he was getting really agitated by it. The same happened when we were at a birthday party over the summer. He was getting really stressed by how loud the music was, even though it wasn't that loud. His issues with the feel and texture of certain objects has gotten worse too. Can you ask Joanna, is this common? What can we do? And should I be worried that this will get worse with puberty?
It's not something I'd say worry about, but I would take action on it. Like, there's a couple of things I could suggest, noise minimizing headphones, those little loop things that you can put in your ear, or, noise cancelling. But actually, I get from this letter that this is something that's been at a mild to moderate level for his childhood. You've managed it easily at home. And now it's spiked a bit. It doesn't sound like you've ever consulted with anyone about his sensory challenges or his sensory sensitivities. And I actually would think that's what you should do. Don't go on the internet and see, what should I do with this? Go and see a pediatric occupational therapist. And before you do that, or maybe as a route to doing that, just because this has spiked suddenly, because it's not that sensory issues get worse as you, if that's the right word even, but get more pronounced maybe as you get older. It's that, our capacity to manage sensory dysregulation can vary, and other lifestyle events or changes could influence that, including the fact that he's 11 and pre-adolescent and a whole lot of change is going on. So I would think of it more that the sensory sensitivity has always been there, but his capacity to manage it might be what's changed. All of that said, I'd like a GP to check the ears and the hearing, because something that can increase auditory sensitivity suddenly is something like tinnitus. I'd say that word.
Yeah.
But you know what I'm talking about.
Yes, I do. Tinnitus,
yes. That can be something, for example, that can cause a sudden auditory sensitivity or a pronouncement of what was already there. So no harm to get the GP to check the ears. And while you're there, the GP hopefully says, look, the ears are fine, they're clear. Can we get a referral to an occupational therapist? Because I would like a sensory profile of that child just to see. Because one of the ways that you're going to be able to do that is an OT is going to be able to help you and him understand what's happening, what is particularly difficult for him, and therefore what would help him. So don't just think, oh, sure, look, I'll put noise cancelling headphones on, because an OT might say, actually, that's not what I'd recommend, because in the context of other sensory issues, here's what we'd recommend. I think it's worth getting a professional opinion.
Yeah. I just gave birth to my second baby girl 5 weeks ago. My eldest daughter, 7, who is usually extremely well behaved, has started acting out. Last week, I caught her smacking the baby across her head when I had my back turned. My husband and I spoke at length about the arrival of this baby with her. We also bought her a present from the baby. We include her in all aspects of her new routine. Unfortunately, nothing we do stops her from acting out and carrying on like a spoiled green-eyed monster. Any advice?
Oh, it was a massive age gap. That little girl had the run of your house and your undivided attention for quite a long time. I would go gently with her. Now, gentle yet firm. She's hitting the baby. Okay, there is a balance here. But when you were talking to her about the baby and involving her in the baby that hadn't yet arrived, that's very abstract. Theoretically,
absolutely.
This theoretical baby sounds great, but the real baby who's crying and taking up all your time, not so much. That's not what I thought. And it's great to do the present from the baby, but I also want to caveat that with that 7, she knows well that present came from you. Just to say that she's 7, she's not 3. So she knows that wasn't from the baby. I would be suggesting at this stage you take her out of the house I'm going to suggest, if you can, bearing in mind you have a newborn baby, if mom can do it, if mom can, even for 40 minutes, get her out of the house, maybe for a hot chocolate or something, so just mom can sit down, you know, talk to her directly. And you're going to use a gentle yet firm tone, because you have to start with, you're not asking her, did you hit the baby? And that she has to confess, because you actually know she did.
Yeah.
So you say it like that. You hit the baby and this is never to happen again. So you're very direct. We do not hit people. And that's the end of that. Then shift your tone towards empathy and saying, I know it's hard for you since the baby arrived. Things have changed. I've been so busy with the baby. So you're acknowledging and validating. Yeah, I get it and I see it. And then you want to look at reassuring her that you have more than enough love for her and the baby, that the amount of love she was getting hasn't changed. And, you know, she is old enough to understand babies when they're this small, they need so much done for them.
Yeah.
And it's not going to be like this forever. It will change. I would also, Sean, I think this is a good rule of thumb for anyone who's having a new baby, if you've already got a child, no matter how old they are, but ask visitors in advance, before they come, to greet and make a fuss of your older child before they go to the baby.
Yeah, yeah.
I think that's really important. I think if your seven-year-old was used to people coming in and being delighted to see her, and now when they come in, they're like, where's the baby? That's very hard as well. So if you can, and if there's a special family member or family friend.
Yeah, and invariably they're asked about the baby rather than asked about themselves.
Oh, and you're a big sister, and don't do that. Be all about her. That it's just about her. But if there is a special family member or family friend that you could tap and say, be nearly disinterested in the baby and really be her.